You know what I find interesting? I find it interesting that when a hurricane hits Florida, the first major hurricane in, 11 and a half years hits Florida here a few months ago. My God, that's climate change. When you have a hurricane drop record-setting amounts of rain on Houston, Texas, that's climate change. And when I say, now, wait a second, we're getting tremendous amounts of snow, and we've only hit 80 degrees one time so far this spring, which is unusual in the upper Midwest, I'm told by climate people, that's just weather. You don't know the difference between weather and climate. Wait a second. A hurricane's climate change, and when it snows, that's just weather. I get a little confused, so I've got somebody here to help me out when it comes to all of this. Jordan McGillis, policy analyst at the Institute for Energy Research, joining me from Washington, D.C. today. Jordan, welcome to the program. Jordan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you here. All right, so we left the Paris Climate Accords about 2 years ago now. And the United States, a lot of people don't realize this, which is surprising to me, but our emissions as far as so-called greenhouse gases have been going down for 12 or 14 years, if I'm not mistaken. We're the only industrialized nation where it's really dramatically falling. And yet you've got people in the House of Representatives demanding that we go back into the Paris Climate Accords or at least follow the rules, the outlines, the protocols put forth. What's going on and why would we do that if we're making the accomplishments anyway?
Well, I'm just as perplexed as you are, Steve. The bill that we're talking about is called the Climate Action Now Act. And one of the elements would be that it would forbid the Trump administration from using funds to withdraw us from the Paris Agreement. Now, my first question is, why does it take funding to withdraw from an agreement? That seems fairly simple. So that may not be a very significant element anyway. But the Paris Climate Agreement itself was something that Obama signed us up for in 2015. Trump then pulled us out of nominally in 2017. We don't officially exit until 2020.
So by pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords, and I have no idea why it would cost us money to leave either, except that we fund just about everything around the world for everybody else all the time. We're asked to pick up the bill for everybody, as you know. But again, I go back to the fact that greenhouse gas emissions in America have been on the decline since, 2005, if I'm not mistaken. So when we're already accomplishing the major goals of the Paris Climate Accords and other, the Kyoto Protocol or whatever it might be, why would we need to be in this program at all?
That's right. We need to look at the facts here. And the facts are, as you said, U.S. greenhouse gas emissions have dropped 10% since 2005. And cumulatively, that's the largest drop of any industrialized country, any country at all in the world. Meanwhile, we've got burgeoning Asian economies, China and India, two behemoth countries that plan to continue increasing their emissions. Frankly, I think they have every right and reason to do so. We want them to continue to grow, get stronger, and make us all better off. But this plan would allow, this Paris Climate Agreement would allow China and India to continue increasing their emissions, while the U.S. is on the hook for a 25% reduction in emissions by 2025. So there's a bit of an imbalance there, particularly when you consider the fact that we are already in decline on that front. Another element to keep in mind here is that declining carbon dioxide emissions tend to be a natural part of an economy's development. Our carbon intensity, which is a term you'll hear in the literature, has been on decline for a while, and China's is expected to decline. India's is expected to decline as well, even as they continue to grow their emissions overall. So what I mean by carbon intensity is how many units of carbon dioxide are emitted per dollar of GDP in the economy.
Well, let me ask you this. I've got Jordan McGillis here, policy analyst at the IER. Why do people believe in the first place that somehow if you raise taxes and fees and such, that will somehow enhance the planet? I mean, you talk about China and India, they're going to continue to increase their emissions. You talk about cap and trade and carbon taxes in America. How does that help the environment? How does raising taxes help anybody when it comes to the environment?
My first view here, which I must make clear, is that we have to draw a distinction between environmental harms at the local level, things like water and air pollution,
sure,
and this global challenge of greenhouse gas emissions, which is going to, according to the literature, increase global temperatures and cause some hurdles that we need to overcome in the future. So I like to draw that distinction first and foremost. The idea on the greenhouse gases is that by, as they say, putting a price on carbon, incorporating a carbon tax, it will deter people from using as much coal, oil, and natural gas. And I can't argue with that. When something costs more, you tend to use less of it. So that's true. But we have to think about at what cost that comes. And the cost is that takes away our purchasing power from everything else in the economy. Our economy will shrink if we incorporate a carbon tax, because that means we have less to use for everything else that we need in our daily lives.
I'm not sure that's true.
Isn't going to make anyone better off.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's true at all. Because I can tell you through the course of my lifetime and yours, the taxes on gasoline, for example, one of the most common fuels from the fossil fuel industry, gas taxes have gone up precipitously as long as I've been alive. And you know what? We will use more gas in America today than any day previously, and more fuel in America this year than any year previously. So I'm not sure taxes are the answer. But we'll leave it there for today because the conversation is going to go on. It's not going anywhere. Jordan McGillis, greatly appreciate you being here from the Institute for Energy Research. Thank you for stopping in.
My pleasure.
Thank you. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. And the Paris Accords, you know, it seems interesting to me that the Democrats would keep us involved in under the thumb of foreign control whenever possible. I hate that. I do. I hate that. It's 25 after on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be back. Dr. John Lott still to come.